since pre-Islamic days, we were united and at peace
with each other. But have you realized that dissensions and disunity between us started with the dawn of Islam? The reason was that we accepted and preached Islam and you remained heathen. The condition now is that we are faithful and staunch followers of Islam and you have revolted against it. Even your original acceptance was not sincere. It was simply hypocrisy. When you saw that all the big people of Arabia had embraced Islam and had gathered under the banner of the Holy Prophet, you also walked in after the fall of Makkah. In your letter, you have falsely accused me of killing Talha and Zubair, driving Ummul Mumineen Aisha from her home at Medina and choosing Kufa and Basra as my residence. Even if all that you say against me is correct, you have nothing to do with them. You are not harmed by these incidents, and I have not to apologize to you for any of them. You have threatened that you are coming out to fight against me with a large horde of Muhajirs and Ansar. Do tell me who these Muhajirs are. The door of Hijra, migration of Muslims to save their lives from the hands of unbelievers of Quraysh, was already closed on the day your elder brother Yazid bin Abi Sufyan was taken prisoner and Makkah was surrendered by your father, and the process of migration had ceased as soon as your paganism ceased. The Holy Prophet had said that there would be no Hijra after the victory of Makkah. Are you so anxious for a battle? Wait, you may get it to your heart's content. I may come out myself to meet you, which will be a correct gesture on my part, because Allah may have destined me to punish you for your inequities. And if you take the initiative to come to fight, then it would mean, as a poet of Bani Asad has said, they are facing those furious summer winds which shower sand, rubble, and gravel stones. Remember that I still hold the sword which has sent your maternal grandfather, maternal uncle, and your brother to the same resting place, the hell. By Allah, I know you too well to argue with you or to advise you. Apostasy and avariciousness have taken a firm hold of your mind. Your intellect is of inferior order, and you cannot differentiate what in the end is good for you and what is not. It is like to say about you that you have risen to such dangerous and sinful heights that your fall, which is inevitable, will lead to an eternal damnation, because you are coveting a thing which morally does not belong to you and for which you are religiously most unsuitable and with which you have neither sincere affection nor any affinity or propensity. It had been once usurped from the right person, and you now want to retain it for yourself. How great is the difference between your words and deeds? How much you resemble your maternal and paternal uncles, whose ill luck persuaded them to deny and repudiate their holy prophet and to fight against him, and every one of whom was at last doomed to die. You know very well that they could not protect themselves or protect the cause they were challenging to men who were energetic and brave and were present in every battlefield to defend the cause of Islam. You have also written so much about the murderers of Caliph Uthman. The correct thing for you to do is to take the oath of allegiance to me, as others have done, and present the case in my court of justice. And then I shall pass my judgment according to the tenets of the Holy Quran. But what are you desiring now is a deceit usually played upon babies when they are to be checked from breastfeeding. May peace of Allah be upon those who deserve it. Letter 65. My letter to Muawiyah. There is still time left for you to see the realities which are bright enough to be seen. and derive the benefit from the knowledge thus gained. But you are following in your ancestors' footsteps in trying to prove falsehood to be true, seducing people with lies and false hopes, in claiming a thing far above your merits and capacities, and in grasping things which religion prohibits to you. This is so because you want to escape from truth, from religion and from Allah, and you have denied and refused to accept realities which, if you realize, are more important to you than your own flesh and blood. These are the realities about which you have been repeatedly told and have often been made to understand. Now tell me, if you disown truth and religion, what will remain with you but plain and evident apostasy and utter reprobation? And if you refuse to accept the truth as told by Allah and the Holy Prophet, what you will believe in is but foolish, superstitious, and irrational fears. Therefore, do not give way to doubts about the truth which Islam has proclaimed, and do not be misled by schism into blind alleys. Beware that sinful temptation has drawn heavy curtain the darkness they create in blinding you to your reason. I received your letter. I do not know what to think about it. To me it appears to be an idiotic confusion of irrelevant ideas. Reconciliation, treaty and peace are not the things which you want to offer or to accept. What your letter contains is only disjointed words and meaningless phrases. It has been worded by somebody who has neither knowledge nor reasoning, who can neither offer anything nor invite any offer. By writing such an idiotic letter, you have placed yourself in the position of a man who has been stuck in a sack, or one who is groping his way in darkness. It will be a great misfortune for Muslims if you become their despotic ruler after me, be it the whole Islamic State or any small part of it. May Allah protect them in such a calamity. Allah forbids me to appoint you a governor of any province or willingly allow you to control destinies of Muslims of any part of the state. Be reasonable and act rationally, because if you miss this chance, you will find yourself in a very serious situation when faithful Muslims attack you, and what can be accepted of you today will not then be acceptable. Letter 66. A letter to Abdullah bin Abbas. Ibn Abbas said that except the advice and sayings of the Holy Prophet, no other advice benefited him more than this. Sometimes man feels very happy for getting a thing which was actually destined for him, and feels sorry for not getting a thing which he was not destined to get. Therefore, you should not feel if your desires are fulfilled, and should not feel sorry for deprivations. Leave everything to the will of Allah. You should not consider the achievements of the pleasures of life or opportunities of revenge for wrongs done to you as the main blessings bestowed upon you, but you must feel happy for good deeds that you have provided for the hereafter. You must feel sorry for the wealth that you have left without spending it on good causes, and the opportunities you have lost of doing noble and pious deeds. Nothing should worry you but the idea of death and the life after death. Letter 67. A letter to Qatham bin Abbas, brother of Abdullah bin Abbas, who was governor of Makkah. After glorifying Allah and praising the Holy Prophet, be it known to you that you should make all necessary arrangements for the festival of Hajj and remind people of the importance of the days of Allah, days reserved for special religious functions, for instance, Eid, Hajj, Ramadan, etc., and how they are to be observed. Hold meetings and audiences during these days in the mornings and evenings. Give proper answers and guidance to those who ask questions about religion and religious observances and functions, educate those who are ignorant, hold discussions and exchange views with educated and learned people. None should carry your message to the people but your tongue, and let none come between you and those who want to approach you, not even a doorkeeper or a guard. Do not let the deserving and needy people go from with empty hands if they come to ask favor of you. Remember that if you once send away a really needy person with a curt refusal to grant the favor on his second approach, you will not get the credit of being sympathetic and generous to him. Be careful of the public treasury. Spend its money on the poor people of your province. Find them out if they do not come to you, and meet their necessities. If any surplus amount is left over after such expenditure, then send the amount to the center so that it may meet the requirements of the poor throughout the state. Order the citizens of Makkah not to charge rent of the quarters they give to the pilgrims, because Allah has decreed that in this holy city the permanent residents and the pilgrims have equal status and rights. May Allah enable us to do the things which He approves and likes. Letter 68. Imam Ali wrote this letter to Suleiman Farsi before his caliphate. This world is like a serpent, so soft to touch, yet so lethal in its bite. Therefore, try to avoid those things of this place which please you or allure you. Because this world will be with you for a very short time and will be of very little use to you. Do not keep your mind fully engrossed in mundane affairs, because you know for certain that you will shortly leave this world. Be most wary and cautious of this vicious world at times when it allures you and pleases you the most, because it is an old trick of this world that when a man is most happy with pleasure of owning and possessing it, it suddenly deserts him, and when a man is most confident of its protection, health and love, it certainly forsakes him. Letter 69. A letter to Harith Hamdan. Never forsake the orders, instructions and advice given by the Holy Quran. So far as presumptions of actions and things, lawful, legitimate and allowable, or unlawful, forbidden and prohibited are concerned, accept the rulings of the Holy Book. Confirm and testify the truth said before. Religions of ancient prophets. Take lessons from history for your future, because history often repeats itself, and future nations of the world will mostly follow in the footsteps of those who have passed away. But this whole world is going to end, and every individual has to leave it some day or the other. Keeping in mind the might of Allah, be particularly careful not to swear by Him unless you are taking an oath for a true and lawful affair. Always remember death and the life after death, but never wish for death. If you want to face death, then do it for a great cause. Try to avoid all those things which a man may like for himself and may grudge for others. Abstain from an action which you will have to do covertly and secretly, and which you feel ashamed to do openly. Refrain from a deed which you will have to accept as evil or bad, or for which you will have to tender an apology or excuse. Do not acquire a bad reputation, and do not allow your good reputation to be sullied. Do not mention heresy things as authenticated facts. Such a practice will be sufficient for you to be regarded as liar. Do not develop the habit of contradicting and falsifying others on every occasion. It is a disgusting habit. have a control on your temper. If you have power to retaliate, then forgive and forget. When in anger, be forbearing, patient and tolerant. When you are in possession of health, power and authority, then be forgiving, merciful and compassionate. These traits will help you to gain your salvation. Be sincerely thankful for all the blessings which the merciful Allah has granted you. Pray for their continuance. Do not misuse them and do not waste them. And you must show by your deeds the extent of your obligations to Him for His blessings. Remember that among the faithful Muslims, the best is he who gives out alms and charities on his own behalf and on behalf of his family and his property. Whatever you spend in this way is something that you send in advance for your life after death. You will then receive the reward of such deeds, and whatever you leave here will be used by others, and you will get no benefit out of it. Avoid the company of men who are weak in their decisions and views, who are superstitious and wicked, because people are judged by the company they keep. If possible, try to live in large cities, because they are the centers of Islamic culture and Islamic traditions. Avoid places where time is wasted in pastimes and amusements, where there are concentrations of ignorant people, and where you find scarcity of companions or lack of society and surroundings to carry on your religious functions. Keep yourself busy with your work and do not frequent abodes meant for vicious pursuits, because they are centers of the activities of Satan and the places which spread vice and wickedness. Always look to the conditions of people not so well off as you are, because observation of their lives and positions will make you more content with your lot in life and more thankful to Allah for it. Never start on a travel on Friday without attending Friday prayers, unless you are going out for jihad or there is no alternative for you but to set out. In all of your affairs, keep the thought of Allah in your mind and act according to His commands and interdictions, because obedience to His orders has priority over every other thing. By various means and in various ways, persuade yourself towards prayers, but do not be hard with yourself. Be gentle and persuasive. When you are free from other duties and you are having good health, then spend your free hours in prayers. But the question of offering daily prayers 5 times a day is a different question. They have to be offered compulsorily and in time. Take care that such a calamity may not overtake you, that while you are trying to ignore religion and Allah and are running after a vicious world, death overtakes you. Avoid the company of wicked people, because bad company allures a person towards evil ways. Always keep the might and majesty of Allah in view and be friend of His friends. Be afraid of your own anger, because out of the armies of Satan, man's anger is its strongest force. Letter 70. A letter written to Suhail bin Hunayf, the governor of Medina and brother of Uthman bin Hunayf, about some Medinites who had left him and gone over to Muawiyah. The two brothers, Uthman and Suhail, were favorite companions of Imam Ali. Whenever he felt that they had made even a minor error, like attending the dinner of a rich man by Uthman, Imam Ali warned them of the viciousness of such an action. After glorifying Allah and praising the Holy Prophet, be it known to you that I am informed that some Madinites are leaving you covertly and superstitiously to join the hordes of Muawiyah. Do not feel sorry for those who have left you and have thus refused you their help and assistance. Their running of faces away from Allah and His guidance and of stealthily walking over to sin and vice is enough proof of their apostasy and schism, and enough reason for you to be thankful for good riddance of bad rubbish. These are worldly-minded people. They are drawn towards the vicious world and are running fast after it. They have heard from the Holy Quran, the Holy Prophet, and Imam Ali what equity and justice mean. They have seen a just and equitable role. They have recognized the implications of these principles, and they have fully realized how the use of these principles will bring them in level with the commonest and the poorest person of the country, and how they will be treated like every other human being. Therefore, they are rushing towards a society where corruption is at premium, where favoritism holds sway, and where justice and equity are abhorred. I swear by Allah that these people are not running away from injustice, inequity, oppression, or tyranny, nor are they attaching themselves to truth, justice, equity, and fair play. I pray to Allah to ease the difficulties and remove the obstacles this exodus has created, and make our work easy for us. Letter 71. Imam Ali had entrusted to Manzir bin Jarud Abadi something which he misappropriated. Thereupon, Imam Ali wrote the following letter to him. The fact is that piety, honesty, and righteousness of your father made me misjudge your character. I thought you were a worthy son of a worthy father and were following him in his honesty and righteousness. But all of a sudden I received above you news which confirms the fact that you do not check and control your inordinate desires, that you do not attach any importance to your life after death, and you want to adorn and beautify your life at the cost of your salvation, and that you are forsaking your religion to provide for your relatives. If all that is reported to me about you is correct, then the very camel you own, or even the strap shoe, is superior to you. You and men of your caliber are not the persons to be confided with financial affairs of a country, or to be assigned to important vacancies of the state, or to be entrusted to check and control dishonesty or disloyalty. Therefore, as soon as you receive this letter, come back to me. Letter 72. A letter to Abdullah bin Abbas. Remember, Ibn Abbas, that you cannot overlive the span of life allotted to you, nor can you ever get that which has not been destined for you. You must know that this world has two aspects. One of its phases is that sometimes it serves you and works in your favor, and the other is that it acts against you. This world is a place for empires to come and go. It is an abode of constant change. Here, anything and everything which has been destined to do you good will reach you, though you may not be strong and fit enough to try for it. And the loss, if it has been decreed for you, will come to you however hard you may try to avoid it. Letter 73. A letter to Muawiyah. I have become sick of reading your letters and of replying to them. I feel that I have made an error in giving them undue importance and taking them seriously. You are always unreasonable and often irrational. Your sole desire is to make me accept your demand for allowing your oppressive, tyrannical, and apostatic sway over a big province. And for this, you have carried on an unending series of correspondence. Your condition is like that of a man who wants to live in a land of happy dreams and does not want to face facts, or like the one who is confused and who does not know what to do and where to go, and who is unaware of what the future, life after death, has in store for him. I know that you are not a fool, but you resemble foolish and unreasonable people. I swear by Allah that had I not been disinclined to bring harm to you, I would have taken the initiative and would have punished you very severely. Beware that Satan has made you incorrigible. It has made you blind to good things as shown by the Holy Prophet and deaf to his teachings. May peace of Allah be upon those who deserve it. Letter 74, a treaty which Imam Ali has worded for Bani Rabia's tribe and the Yemeniyats to agree upon. Hashim bin Saib Kalbi had quoted this treaty. This is the treaty which has been agreed upon by the Yemeniyite people, be they urban or rural, and pastoral, and the people of the Bani Rabia tribe, be they dwellers of cities or those living in villages or desert. Through this treaty, both the parties have agreed that they shall steadfastly adhere to their faith in the Holy Book, shall accept its orders and tenets, shall invite people towards it, and shall pass verdicts according to its teachings and rulings, that they shall accept the call of those who invite them towards this book, and shall accept the judgment passed according to it, that they shall not accept anything in lieu of this book, and shall not sell it at any cost, that they shall forsake those who forsake this book, and that they shall unite to fight against those who go against this book.